Good morning. Welcome to the Message of Truth. My name is Keith Greer. I'm the local minister here at the Harrisburg Church of Christ. I want to thank you for listening to our broadcast this morning. We hope you tune in each Sunday morning at this time as we endeavor to give you a message of truth. We also have a TV program that airs right after this broadcast on Public Access Channel number 6 entitled Searching the Scriptures. Please give it a look. We also have a very extensive website, churchofchrist@harrisburg.com. Please give it a look. Let us know what you think. We also want to invite you to our worship services and Bible study periods at the Harrisburg Church of Christ, and we'll give you those times at the end of this broadcast. We cordially invite you to any or all of these services. You will always be warmly received. Our only desire is to have you come, worship God with us, let us show you the need for God in your life and in relationship with His Son, Jesus Christ. Please come and visit us. We have been endeavoring to go into detail on the subject of sin. We have begun this series of lessons by looking at sin and the nature of man. We closed out last week looking at temptation is the door that we walk through in order to commit sin. Now, we want to continue by looking at some aspects of man and his human relationship. Man's mate. Man is suited to one's mate for life, contrary to the advocates of license of hedonism and immorality. God made one man, one woman in the beginning, and that has not changed. Changed his order since. God has not changed his order nor his mind since then. In Genesis 2, 24 and 25, the institution of marriage was established. In Matthew 19, 3 through 9, we see that from the beginning, that's the way God created it, and he has not changed it. It is against nature and the natural order for men to have sexual relations with men and women with women. It's sin. It's not an alternate lifestyle. It's not a sexual orientation of choice. God says it's sin. Let me read you what his book says in Romans chapter 1, verse 26 and 27. For this reason, God gave them up to vile passions, for even their women exchanged a natural use for what is against nature. Likewise, also men, living the natural use of woman, burned in their lust one for another, men with men, committing what is shameful and receiving in themselves the penalty of their error which was due. And even that, as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them up to a debased mind to do those things which are not fitting. You see, it's sexual immorality. It's sin. It is yet violates when a person takes another mate, when his first is still alive. This is adultery and is an abomination in the sight of God. I know it's acceptable in our society. I know it's acceptable by Hollywood. And I know it's acceptable by many to live together, to have multiple wives, one at a time, or even in some instances, have one live in after another. And it may be acceptable. Many people live without the basis of marriage and live together. But all of that, in God's sight, is sin. Listen to what illustration that was used in Romans chapter 7, verse 2 and 3. For the woman who has a husband is bound by the law to her husband as long as he lives. But if the husband dies, she is released from the law of her husband. But then, if while her husband lives, she marries another man, she shall be called an adulteress. But if her husband dies, she is free from the law, so that she is no adulteress, even though she be married to another man. You see, only death and fornication severs this bond, except for adultery, except for sexual immorality. Read Matthew 19:9. Read Matthew 5, verse 32. Those who advocate any other order confuse love and lust, liberty with license, passing pleasure with perpetual profit, and God's grace from gross perversion. To pursue such a course is not true freedom, but is making a person a slave to sin and its dreadful curse, according to 1 Peter 2, verse 19. God's plan for the family blesses both men and women in many ways, sets a sure foundation for warding off many other pressing dangers along life's way. Yes, sexual immorality is a problem in our nation. It's a problem in our country. And it is very perverted and it's very liberal in its thinking and in the way that it's promoted in our society. We have the most unwed children who have single mothers, of unwed mothers, there's ever been in our nation's history. There are more children without fathers than at any time in our history. Many young couples live together without the pronouncement of marriage and set a horrible example for their children and a horrible example for society. Now, the majority may go along with it. It may be acceptable in the eyes of many, and it may be acceptable in the society that we live in. But ladies and gentlemen, God looks at it in the same way He's looked at it from the beginning. He says it's sin. He says it separates a man from God, and it says it will bring great unhappiness and destruction to his life. I believe the one who instituted the relationship knows the most about it, don't you? Man's conscious identity. Man's personal identity and conscious existence is a blessing, not a curse. Contrary to the claims of such Eastern religions as Hindu and Buddhism. Adam knew he was Adam and not Eve. Cain, Abel, or Seth. Eve knew she was Eve, not somewhere else. God, as an intelligent, self-conscious, and distinct person, addresses man as an intelligent, self-conscious, and distinct person. God blesses Adam and Eve by explaining their duties and privileges. Remember, there will be a personal accounting made by every person. Jesus said himself in John chapter 5, verse 28 and 29, listen to the words of our Savior when he was on the earth. He says, "Do not marvel at this, for the time is coming in which all who are in the grave will hear his voice and come forth, those who have done good to the resurrection of life, those who have done evil to the resurrection of condemnation." There is going to be an accounting. Some world religions admit man has a personal consciousness and identity, but claim it is a curse for man to overcome. Man's goal in life submerged that personal sense that he is only part of the great divine whole. Through meditation and a process of self-denial, which may mean leaving all life, including family, and live the life of a monk, by many different reincarnations, man's ultimate destiny is to escape the existence of a mere body, lose all sense of his own personal identity, and become submerged into this great divine whole. Such teaching denies man of any of his blessings and privileges and God-ordained duties that he is to accomplish. This effort to escape personal identity destroys the sense of personal responsibility and has eternal consequences. The results: sin against self, sin against God, sin against one's mate, sin against your own children, one's parents, and ultimately his fellow man. Why? You're trying to find your identity. You're trying to become part of the divine. You're trying to become part of the universal whole, of the great divine. Such is wasteful thinking. It's theology. It's human religion. It's the theories and opinions of men. Has no biblical basis, has no biblical foundation, and cannot be found taught or even inferred to in God's word. Such is trying to destroy man's identity. Not finding it, it's destroying it and making man unaccountable and act that he doesn't know where he's going and doesn't know how he gets there. It's a test of trial and error and a period of trial and error through many lifetimes in order to become part of the great divine. Make for good reading as fiction, but there's no truth in it at all. Man's fellowship with God. Man is capable of fellowship with God, but sin breaks that fellowship. Contrary to all claims that one can be right with God all the while sinning. Of all the things that God created in 6 days, he only created one thing to have fellowship with him, one thing to have a relationship with him, and that thing was man. Man was created in the image of God so he could fellowship God. Before they sinned, Adam and Eve knew the love, the joy, the peace of having communion with their God. When they sinned, they died, as God had warned, and they died that day when they were driven from the Garden of Eden. By sin, they had separated themselves from God. Why were they filled with shame and dread as God approached the garden in the cool of the day? Because they knew they were naked. They knew that things had changed. To underscore his anger towards sin for all time, he drove them out of the Garden of Eden and from the access to the Tree of Life. Physical death would now also be part of his consequences. Genesis 3:22-24. It is worthy to note that they had committed just one sin, yet one was too much for a holy, pure, and just God to abide and continue fellowship with them. When one commits sin, he is a lawbreaker in the sight of God. Anyone that commits one sin is guilty of breaking the law. James 2, verse 10. Modernism teaches that all men are accepted by God in spite of their sins on the basis of the fatherhood of God and the brotherhood of man. Doesn't that sound cliche? Doesn't that just sound such a novel ideal? But the problem is, it's not biblical. It's not scriptural. It's not true. Catholicism teaches that venial or lesser sins do not separate men from God. Well, my question to the Roman Catholic is, where is the scripture that teaches so? Where is the list of greater and lesser sins? True, some have graver consequences than others, but all have the same spiritual wage. According to Romans 6:23, all wages of sin is death. That's what God says about it, and it doesn't give little or big or venial or lesser sins. All sin is sin. Denominational theories of man, inherited sinful nature, say that we all sin all of the time and cannot help it. So God just forgives it. Where is a passage or an example or an inference that teaches such a thing? These supposed theories propose one can be in fellowship with God on one's basis or another while we continue sinning by our human nature that we can't help. Such teaching has no merit, no biblical foundation, no biblical merit whatsoever. Sadly, many brethren over the past decade have begun to teach this same principle in the continuing cleansing theory of grace, saying that grace is like a windshield wiper. It just wipes off the sin as you commit it. Such is wishful thinking. Such is not taught in God's word. Never forget this, dear ladies and gentlemen. Satan was the first one to tell the lie if man sinned. Genesis 3, verse 4, he told Eve, even if she ate of the tree and disobeyed God, she would not surely die. That was a lie. That was deception. That was deceit. She believed it. She ate of the tree. She died that day. Genesis 3, verse 4. Ladies and gentlemen, please understand this. Modernism teaches that all men are accepted by God in spite of their sins on the basis of the fatherhood of God and the brotherhood of man. The only true in that thing about that is we all are children of God in a sense because we all were created by God. But the fatherhood of God only belongs to those who can call him God because he is their father, and only those who are in his family can correctly address him as their father. And understand this, God loves man, sent his son to die for man, created man to have fellowship with him, but in no way will he participate, have fellowship in, enjoy in, and live in sin. Sin is opposed to everything that God stands for, everything that makes God what he is, and opposed to every good thing that God did for man. And we need to understand that man is a being that is accountable for his actions. And he sins because he's weak, because he doesn't believe, and because he falls trapped into the snares and the temptations of Satan. But he does so because he won't listen and he's rebellious. Therefore, he's accountable, he's at fault, and God will hold him accountable. These theories of man try to escape accountability, but rest assured, ladies and gentlemen, God is not going to let us erase our accountability. Thank you for listening today. Please continue to tune in again next week as we continue talking about